Going, everyone. This is episode one of Video Refs, a new monster project.
Good. Slurpy coffee. This is Video Refs. I am Lucas.
I'm Kevin. We are brothers from other mothers.
Other mothers, literally.
We're here to talk about film, and specifically only film. If we get a little loose and talk about some other stuff, we'll always ring it back in. We've got several different topics that we'll always hit. Sometimes we'll add to different episodes.
If you can handle it.
Yeah.
Can you handle it? Can you...
Need for speed? Do you have the need for speed?
Are you picking up what we're putting down? This is videos. We're the video refs. Look at us.
Yeah, there will be a lot of film quotes, references that... We'll just throw out there.
Film, why not? Video, touching, teaching.
Loving, stroking.
Licking, slurping.
All right. I'm going to start off and just give a little background. We are brothers, like I said. We have been trying to get a movie podcast in the works for a while, and finally we have the opportunity to.
We just needed some motivation,
yes.
And finally we found it because the name Video Refs was available.
That is correct.
And we're just adding more content to New Monster as New Monster grows. So as Kevin said before, this is a New Monster project. And yes. It's a little branch off of New Monster. Video Refs.
Tell your friends.
Tell your mom. Tell your grandma.
All right. The first segment, let's do Buy or Die.
Buy or Die.
All right. Let's just start with today. Because today was a phenomenally... beautiful day for purchasing film, which we did buy. We did not die.
We did buy. We did not die. And normally, buy or die is due to blind buys.
Yes.
Because back in the day, you would call me and you would say, hey, I haven't seen this movie. I've heard good things. Should I buy it or just drop it? Buy or die.
Yeah.
And if I had seen it or I had heard some reliable things about it, not necessarily reviews, but certain things about the movie that I knew that Kevin would like, I would say, buy. But, dear listener, if it was negative, or I just knew he would not be fulfilled by it, which is rare because we have a lot of different tastes.
Right. That is the good flavor of it all.
Yeah.
The good flavor of it all is that while we're on the same page with a lot of films. We both have different dynamics of like what we enjoy.
Right.
So yeah.
Inside, I'm a country black woman, and inside, you are an Italian broker, male.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
I mean, that's the difference between us.
Male. Yeah. The penis.
Well, you know. Yeah.
Makes it all.
So that's the big difference there.
Okay,
and so you can
yes.
you can tell that their movie watching is a little bit different, but you know can sometimes be the same. I'm pretty sure they both enjoy listening to NPR, but that's besides the point. You know,
all things considered, today we bought RoboCop.
There's a fun story with this. The
yes.
other podcast that I do and that Kevin is doing as well with New Monster, which is Sci-Fighters, which
yes.
is focused on science fiction, all things science fiction, as a matter of fact.
There you go.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, that's better.
Look, we are recently going to be doing a RoboCop episode, which deals with the science fiction with the RoboCop movies, cartoon, comic books, the video games,
yeah,
the
it's gonna
television
go
series.
Way more in depth.
androids, what the future holds for crime fighting and other things
See,
like that. So,
well, the thing with Sci-Fighters is I'm there as backup as far as the ridiculous artificial intelligence life robotics comes into.
Because you're an android.
Yes.
Apparently.
Half and half.
Right.
Cyborg.
Yeah. But RoboCop is the one we were doing, and Kevin and I both needed to rewatch RoboCop, and I had found some great videos on YouTube with Peter Weller talking about his role as RoboCop. And
so far, what I've seen, that's
look
awesome.
Those up; they're amazing. The one look for "Ain't It Cool News,"
yeah,
and just watch Peter Weller go on and on for an hour about his role as RoboCop, and it's amazing, so in depth and fun.
Yeah, he's really smart guy.
He's amazing. He's a professor at NYU.
Yeah.
That's New York University to you. You silly. But what's really hard to find is a certain DVD of RoboCop, which is the unrated version. The R-rated version, of course, came to theaters.
Mm-hmm.
Now then, the unrated version came to DVD and to tape in the 80s. And to find that recently was very hard to do. It was hard to come by. And it popped up a few years ago, but then it disappeared. And now it has popped up again, and we called our local Best Buy, and we said, hey, do you have the uncut, unrated version of the first RoboCop movie from the 1980s? They said, no, we're out. It's on back order. So I said, okay, well, we're going to go to a little bit out of town and go to a Walmart and check the cheaper Blu-ray bins. They have a 788 Blu-ray bin. And
a pro tip, go to your local Walmart and see if they have a bin of 788 is the price, bin of Blu-ray.
Yeah.
Here's another pro tip. Take a buggy buddy. Take a friend and take a buggy and dump all the movies that are just in your way into that buggy. That way you're not flipping them all over the place, throwing them, you know, on the floor. Employees are getting pissed. You know,
and they're in the way. People are slipping and sliding on them. Lawsuits.
Yeah.
Don't do that. I was the buddy this time.
I was on a mission to find this RoboCop unrated version cut on Blu-ray.
We were like Nicolas Cage.
Yes.
In National Treasure. And we were looking for the Declaration of Independence. And we were hoping it was in the right place. And I didn't think there was a chance.
You didn't think
in
so?
Hades.
I didn't either.
That it was there.
That's what's so great.
Not even halfway through our digging, Kevin holds up RoboCop on Blu-ray. I was ecstatic. And then he said, no, not just RoboCop on Blu-ray, the unrated director's cut for $7.88.
Yep.
Let's just say we both got a copy.
That's right.
And we only found one other copy in that bin, which we thought about getting and flipping on the internet. But
Let's leave it out there.
Yeah, it's out there if you want to get it. We're not going to tell you where.
Yeah.
Use your hacking skills.
Yeah,
or don't. Use your hacking skills for good, not bad.
So definitely one of the best buys in a while.
We did not die.
That's
we buyed.
True. Yes.
No
yes.
died.
I'm trying to think of a recent die that I bought, but I can't. Lately, like we were talking about in the store, is to be really smart about your purchases.
Yes.
And not just flippantly buy a bunch of stuff.
Buy what you want. Buy what you need for your Blu-ray collection if you're doing hard copy collections. And one of the reasons I buy a hard copy collection, a hard copy Blu-ray these days, I won't buy everything I want on Blu-ray. Sometimes I'll go to a used bookstore to get a VHS copy of something that I want, like an action movie from the 80s. Like all my Diehards and all my Lethal Weapons are nice. On VHS only.
Yeah.
And that's how I like to watch them. I don't play NES on high def screens.
Mm-hmm.
We play NES on tube TVs.
That's right.
So we watch our silly action movies from the 80s, most of them on tape, but RoboCop in high def is an amazing movie. And to get the unrated director's cut, here's the unrated stuff, a little bit more gory.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the thing. There's more gore. And that's the thing. And it's really hard to find. But we found it at a local Walmart for $7.88 plus tax.
That's right.
Double tax where we're at for Walmart.
Yeah. But we got it. And so if you find something you like, really it's about what we got. We bought it. Did not die. Very satisfied with my purchase. You and satisfied?
I'm
I didn't even, I mean, you didn't even have to buy it. I bought it for you.
I felt really. Complete. Well, I paid you half back.
Yes.
I gave him $4.
Worth it.
Now then, oh, completely. I cannot wait to just see it.
Yeah.
I know. The Paul Verhoeven RoboCop.
Unrated cut.
Unrated director's cut. Very excited. It has something I really like about having a hard copy is the slew of special features that you get. You can't get that whenever you download a movie. You get it off of anywhere else. I mean, you'll be able to find some of the special features. Sometimes people upload them to YouTube or Vimeo, something like that. But I like to have a hard copy that I know at any point in time I can watch and own these special features. And that's something I really nerd out on. And that's one of the reasons I'm a video ref myself.
Yeah.
So-called. I don't have the...
We're going to cut you out.
We don't have the papers yet to be full video refs. But we are the number one video ref podcast out there anyway.
Yeah, that's right.
So we might as well be... We might as well have it in our credentials. Now then.
Very true. I'm good. You want to continue on?
Moving on.
New in the queue. What do you got new in your queue?
New in the queue. Now then, what did we establish for new in the queue? Is this a DVD purchase? Is this a video purchase? Is this...
This is whatever's in your queue.
Like my Netflix
Hulu,
queue.
Netflix, Crackle.
Okay. Cracker.
I do want to talk about Crackle for
I'll
just
tell you
a
what's
brief
in my
moment.
My what's in my Crackle queue, which is fun.
Well, here's the thing with Crackle. There's not... They don't have...
Stop yelling at me.
They don't have a load of films. Like, films that you feel like you need to watch. However, there's a slew of... good films on there.
You know what I've been watching?
And Crackle's free.
You know what I've been watching on Crackle? Married with Children episodes.
Nice.
I feel like I just screamed into the mic. Sorry.
Married with Children.
Hot mic. Ed O'Neill. But Christina Applegate. Hilarious.
Yeah.
I am of age enough to know how fantastic that show really is, and it is right up my alley. I absolutely think it's one of the best satires out there. Really fun to watch. Movie-wise, I watched Step Brothers just for giggles.
That's in my queue. I do want to. I've never seen Step Brothers, but I like John O'Reilly.
It's good for giggles. You want some
or
giggles?
John C. Reilly.
You want some giggles? Watch that movie. And then I've been watching Attack the Block again.
That's in the queue as well.
I recommend that. It's a fun thriller, horror, sci-fi movie.
That's the good thing about Crackle. If you don't have it, it's free. If you have any OS devices, you can, or Apple TV or anything like that, you can get the app and watch them. Just sign up. I've got...
My Hulu queue? Can I keep going?
You go, yeah, you go and we'll switch off.
Okay, my Hulu queue, because I'm a nerd. I mean, I love this stuff. I don't pay for television. I pay for Hulu and Netflix, and that's it.
Me too.
And I have Apple TV. I also port through my video game system as well. I got a PS3, which I really appreciate. I have in my Hulu queue Bob's Burgers.
Very good. Me too. Great show.
Love it. And I also use my Hulu Plus so I can catch up on Saturday Night Live, which I still enjoy. A lot of people don't like it. A lot of people do like it. I'm in the camp of I do like it. They're going to have their off moments, but who cares? I can't do any better.
Right. Well, the thing with these subscriptions, especially Hulu, is that they're in partnership with a lot of channel, like ABC.
Yes.
I guess they're with Channel 3, NBC.
Because
we watch the entire seasons up to 5 of Community just on Hulu, which is nice. I mean, there's commercial breaks, which is okay. You know, you deal with it.
I mean, it's free. I mean, it's not free, but, you know, you get a little bit of commercials in there, but you get to, you don't have to buy cable.
Yeah.
And you pay $8 a month and you get to keep up with shows on television. That's nice.
Yeah. Another show that's in my queue in Hulu is At Midnight. It's Chris Hardwick's show on Comedy Central, but the concept's really different. It wouldn't work if it wasn't or weren't comedians that were the players.
You need something.
It's
you
a very
need,
funny show with comedians.
You need quick-witted people.
Yeah.
You have to
that's
have
a good one.
And dark, because a lot of the stuff on the internet is dark, and that's what they feed off of. They use Twitter, they use memes and other things to push the show.
Yeah.
Chris does a great job. He's a great guy.
Yeah, fantastic host. What about Netflix? Anything new pop up? The thing is with Netflix, they have new releases and updates, but I don't see a lot. Sometimes they'll have a great push one week of a lot of good films or documentaries or shows.
Well, but I'm trying to get my Jason Biggs fix. I'll watch, for his voice, I'll go the new Ninja Turtles off Nickelodeon, which is a TMNT, which is a fantastic cartoon.
Does he do all the turtles or Leonardo?
He's Leonardo. Okay. Don't get nuts.
All right.
And then to get my little bit of Jason Biggs fix, but not so Jason Biggs fix, is just watch the first episode of Orange Is the New Black.
Have you watched it all yet?
I don't think I'm gonna like it. It's not for me. There's a lot of shows I want to watch. Because at Video Refs, I think it would be fantastic if eventually we got through all of David Lynch's Twin Peaks.
Yeah, that's how we're going to do it.
But that's a lot of episodes, that's a long time, and that is scary.
Yeah. We will. That's going
to
be it.
But we've wanted to do that, and I think here at Video Refs, it is the perfect time for Kevin and Lucas to go over our thoughts and mental process of David Lynch's Twin Peaks, whenever that is. But right now, that's not where this is. We're talking about what's in my Netflix queue.
That's correct.
And my Netflix queue, I'm trying to think because I just recently diddled with it. You go.
Yeah, the good thing, like, if you're a film buff, if you will, and you enjoy older film, Hulu Plus is worth the purchase of $7.99 a month.
Amen.
Because they have an entire, just huge collection of Criterion.
Yes.
And it's amazing. And it's not like the newer Criterions, which would be nice, but it's the older, like, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s films that you would never see. Like, Bergman, you know, a lot of his films are on there. Kurosawa's films are on there. You can watch... some Fellini films. I think 8 and a Half might be on there, and maybe like La Dolce Vita.
Swiss, French,
yeah. Spanish, it's all the stuff you would normally never
Portuguese,
see.
Korean, like
really good.
Just non-American flicks.
Yeah,
that you're gonna get just at your fingertips in
very
beautiful
awesome.
High def movies.
That's the difference between why I have Netflix and Hulu is because Netflix gives me my upkeep on. You know, newer films and a little bit older, like 2000s films that I haven't seen yet.
Sure.
And I'd like to watch or rewatch. But Hulu does offer a weird selection of movies, including the Criterions, which is very nice.
They have a really fat documentary section.
Yeah.
But don't go there if you're looking for a comedy.
Yeah, I've noticed that.
If you're looking for some random...
You'll get a lot of really shitty...
Yeah, if you're looking for drama, go there. If you're looking for kid movies, no.
Yeah.
But if you're looking for documentaries, man, you've got your pick. You really do. And Criterion, a lot of great stuff by fantastic directors. The movies that they pick for the Criterion, wow, if you don't like the story, you're going to like the editing or the cinematography because...
Yeah,
I haven't seen a movie that I didn't feel was beautiful.
Yeah, especially during that time period of like the 50s to the like 70s when there was a lot of experimental new wave stuff coming through that like people were messing with lights and messing with filters and stuff.
A lot of cocaine and acid directors were taken.
Yeah, I mean, I mean that's what makes art in a way is being so messed up that you're...
Drugs.
Taking some drugs.
Well, I think what it is the willingness to not be afraid and the willingness to take a chance and create your vision or make mistakes and have happy accidents that turn into your vision.
Yeah.
You know, and it's a beautiful thing.
Definitely.
People focused on art instead of money so much.
That is true.
Where a lot of fun independent film comes from as well. Oh, I'll tell you what is in my next Netflix queue.
Uh-huh.
The guy that made Rubber, I cannot think of his name, did a movie called Wrong.
Oh,
where a guy loses his dog, but is somehow psychically connected to it. I cannot wait to dig into that movie. It is
For some reason,
Wrong.
I thought the guy that did Rubber was Steven Soderbergh. But that was Bubble, I think I'm thinking of.
Yeah. Okay. I couldn't make it through Rubber because, you know, 20 minutes in, I was like, I get it.
Yeah.
You can make a movie about anything, who cares? But there's more to it than that. It just didn't appeal to me, so I wrote it off.
Mm-hmm.
which we'll do from time to time. And then sometimes stuff that we love, we'll really go into it and champion it.
Yeah.
I'm not going to champion Rubber, but I might champion Wrong.
Yeah.
Which is the other, the second movie he that I know about that he has done. So there's that. And that's, yeah, that's what's in my queue.
All right. Let's move on to What Are You Looking At?
Now, what does that mean?
What are you looking at is...
I'm looking at you.
Yes, you are.
I'm looking at Kevin,
Yeah. No, it's more about anything you've seen recently. What are you looking at? What have you looked at is more appropriate.
I recently have watched...
And something that stuck out.
1930s
you know?
Movie, The Invisible Man.
Uh-huh.
Absolutely love the Universal monster movies. And... The Invisible Man is on Netflix right now. The 1930s version is a beautiful, beautiful movie.
Okay.
That I do recommend anybody watch. The cinematography is great. The writing is fantastic. The acting is superb. The special effects for the 30s, they are magical. And I suggest anyone and everyone checking that out.
I've been going through just a ton of... The
1933 with Claude Rains. That's bringing up some info now. So,
yeah.
Well, written by H.G. Wells and R.C. Sheriff.
Well, the thing is, I really want to go...
Screenplay.
I do want to go further and watch the older films. Like, it's been a long time since I've seen Nosferatu, you know, and I really want to see it.
Amazing movie from the 20s.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, I'll definitely watch... Yeah, is Invisible Man in a queue somewhere, or is that something you have to...
No, it's in my queue in Netflix.
Is it? Okay. Mm-hmm. So you can watch it on Netflix.
You can also watch The Bride of Frankenstein as well, The Wolfman, Dracula,
so
a host of other Universals that are just fantastic.
Very nice. Well, if any of you happen to have any recommendations for us to watch and talk about, we're on the Twitter at VideoRefs, and it's how it sounds. But yeah, I mean, I would like to hear some feedback. I would like to see if people watch it, you know, and just shoot up a review, shoot up a 140 character review, give it a star or some
thumbs ups,
characters, emojis. I've been going through a lot of the, because this is where we kind of differ, which is nice. Anytime it's in the season where the Golden Globes, Academy Awards are coming through, you know, a lot of those films come out primarily in December, you know, November, right. December. So I've been catching up on a lot of them, or the movies that were critically acclaimed.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw Wolf of Wall Street. We'll talk about this later. We'll have a whole Scorsese, you know, episode, I'm sure.
Yeah, sure.
But I wanted to, and I've seen, which is, we were talking about this earlier. I kind of got out of the movie game a while ago, but I've recently gotten back in because I had to leave and, you know, leave it and come back to it to enjoy it.
Yeah.
So I'm grabbing all these films that I loved before and really enjoying them and processing them in different ways.
Yeah.
Than I did before. Okay, but I'll talk about I'll say in theater releases that I've seen.
Right.
And we could talk about Her, because I know we have some values.
We'll break
on that
down. I'm going to bring that up right now, so we can break it down.
So Her, which I thought was good. Mm-hmm. Inside Llewyn Davis, the new Coen Brother film, I thought was really good. They're always great with when they do certain period pieces. You know what I mean? Like they'll sometimes go back not too far in history. Like they won't go to the Napoleon era, you know, but they'll go just like, you know, a couple decades back, and they'll do a really good job of capturing that time period.
Uh-huh.
So I saw that, really great film. American Hustle, saw that one, which is up for a lot of awards and whatnot. It was good. I don't think it really deserved the best picture necessarily, but I mean, it was a good film.
Yeah.
Gravity. We could talk about Gravity.
I really enjoyed Gravity.
Great film. Which I'm hoping... here's the thing. It's hard for me to want Gravity to win best picture for the Oscars because it was so minimal and light. Well, heavy, but light as in Gravity. It was a lot of psychological dealings with, you know.
Yeah, like, but there was also nods to like 2001 and things like that were just, if you missed it, you haven't seen 2001.
Yeah, the one that I love is where she's just kind of, She first gets in the capsule and she's floating like the...
She takes her suit off. She finally takes her suit off to breathe a little bit. She's just floating.
But she's curved up like the
fetus. She curls up like the fetus and it's nice.
Yeah.
It's just a great visual. It made me really happy.
Yeah.
But what made me really happy about watching that movie was the 3D was awesome. And that is one of the only movies where 3D was awesome.
Yeah. And I've told you this. It's the first movie I've ever moved forward in a theater, in seating, to get closer to the screen rather than, you know, I'm too close. Right. I can't see what's going on.
You wanted to feel like you were in space.
Yeah, and I got there, and it was awesome. That's the first time I've ever done that.
I saw it in Nashville on a date. My wife and I hadn't been on a date in a long time. We got to go, and it was phenomenal. We went to an excellent theater in Nashville, and it was just awesome. And I'm just so glad the movie was great.
I just wanted to be closer to the screen, you know, not like further away where I could see my peripherals, you know, but I wanted my peripherals to be so close to the screen that space took up my entire eyesight.
Yeah.
Great. It's fun.
Yeah, man.
But yeah, Her. Let's talk about Her, because I feel like that's one of the films that came out that was supposed to be bigger than it was or is. Does that make sense? Like, I feel like it was supposed to be a lot bigger in a way.
Yeah.
Because the release was very light.
Bigger, and then you feel like it should have went to more theaters?
It should have gone to more theaters.
Or it should have had more word of mouth.
I want to say that it seemed like one of those movies that would have gotten more attention, but it didn't. Does that make sense? Because it's Spike Jonze, whose films usually always get some sort of acclaim.
Of Jackass fame.
Of Jackass, yeah. Well, like adaptation, you know, like that. That got a lot of acclaim.
Did he direct adaptation?
I believe so, yeah. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, it didn't reach the potential that I think they were hoping for, but I don't think it needs to, because I don't think people are ready for that kind of thought. You know what I mean? It takes a certain kind of person to watch Her and really understand it.
You're right.
What it was supposed to be.
Yes.
And I thought, you know, I thought, we talked about this earlier, and I thought, you thought Joaquin Phoenix did a good job, as far as possibly he did a good job, because of that's how the character was written. Very bland and boring.
He felt really 2D to me, but it was brought up. Well, he was really sad as well. Yeah, I get it, but he really seemed two-dimensional to me. And the OS, which was voiced by the raspy vixen Scarlett Johansson of... the 90s pop group Hanson fame. No.
Well, she was way more lively.
She was the OS, and she seemed more three-dimensional.
Yeah.
In my opinion. Yeah. So, and guys, these are just our opinions. Don't get your panties in a bunch. We're spouting how we felt, not how we expect you to feel, because we want everyone to feel their own feelings and not ours. What is this segment that we are in right now? What is that called? Let's transition over right now.
What are you looking at?
What are you looking at? We didn't just do that. We're still in.
Oh, you want to talk about Her? I thought you want to talk about Her.
Yeah, we're talking about Her. Yeah. Is that what we're looking at?
Oh, yeah, yeah. We were.
Come on, guys. This is a new podcast. We're working out the
currently bugs. Currently, we are looking at Her.
We're looking at Her. What are you looking at?
Her.
All right.
Her.
Her. Her. This is 126 minutes. It's a drama. It's a romance. It's considered as well science fiction. Came out the 10th of January, 2014 in the USA. Rated R.
Strong R. Well, decently strong R.
There's a point in the movie. Listen, if you have not seen the movie Her, I am sorry. Spoiler alert. Spoiler alert for the movie Her. What time are we at right now?
28 minutes.
Can you write that down? 28 minutes? So we can put that in the...
Sure.
In the notes, so people...
I got it.
Spoiler alert! Hit the spoiler alert sound effects! Alright. Alright.
That was it.
We're gonna deconstruct Her, and let me just tell you, on the poster, it's all lowercase letters. H-E-R.
Yeah.
Underlined. I'm just saying... So this movie, Her, is about a lonely writer who develops an unlikely relationship with his newly purchased operating system, that's designed to meet his every need. And boy, does it. what's his name in the movie? Joaquin plays Theodore Twombly.
Ooh.
Yeah, try to say that three times fast. He's recently going through a divorce. It's been about a year. He's got to sign his papers. He's humdrum, sad, wad, brr. What he does for a living is it's in some kind of weird future where men wear their pants 3 inches above their navels and have mustaches. And beards are gone. No one wears a beard. Everyone wears Easter colors.
Yeah, it's
and
true.
I didn't notice anything about the women because I was so focused on how high the pants were.
Yeah.
Could have been high waters, but they were not showing socks. So there you go. Everyone had tailor-made pants who was wearing pants. Now then...
The future looks great.
The future looks stupid. So this was set in some kind of future. I haven't thought too much about it because those were not my talking points. If you have them, great. Talk about them on the internet. Now then...
The wife.
Time out.
She just let me know that they're selling her pants for $169 right now. For $169, you can buy some pants.
Buy some stupid-looking pants that if these things may or may not get really hot with hipsters. I don't know. You have to wear a button-up shirt with 3 inches above your belly button pants. No belt. And these are slacks. I keep saying pants. Let me just rephrase that. These are slacks. And this is in the movie Her, directed and written.
My OS said...
By Spike Johnson.
You're welcome.
Oh, thanks, OS. Right now, I'm looking at IMDb, which, take it or leave it, that's what I'm looking at. Sorry. If I had Metacritic in front of me, I would look that up too, but I don't. 8.5 out of 10.
Not bad.
It got a 43 out of 100 from Metacritic, with a Metascore 91 out of 100.
So a lot of critics...
critiqued it.
And
people who have never written or made a movie in their life decided to say whether or not this movie was good or bad.
Which is what we're kind of doing.
We're spouting our own opinion. Yeah. We are not suggesting or not suggesting anyone see this movie.
Yeah.
We are just talking about ourselves. So we are not critiquing. We're refereeing.
Oh.
We're video refs. You clown. Get silly. All right.
So it's your call.
It's your call. Did you like the movie or did you not?
That's right.
Send us your opinion now.
We'll let you flip the coin.
Flip it.
That's it. There you go.
Flip it.
Flip the coin.
Call it. Yeah. I like that. We're going to figure this out. It's podcasting.
Well, if I can just say what I've seen, and here I go critiquing, but recommending, more or less, is that the Coen brothers film Inside Llewyn Davis.
Are we done talking about Her? Because I wasn't.
Oh, no.
At all.
Oh, well, wow.
What are you doing?
Refereeing.
I didn't even say what his job was. He writes handwritten letters, but doesn't. He basically reads what people send him, and he reads them out loud into a computer, and then the computer handwrites letters that he sends to other people, and that's his job. Wow, the future looks bleak. Now then, some of you may love that. Some of you may hate it. I thought it was boring. I thought Joaquin's character was boring and two-dimensional.
But I think that was the point.
I think that was the point, though. I thought that was the point. There's a fantastic scene where he's lonely and he calls a phone sex line.
Here's the difference.
And I thought it was Anna Faris. It was Kristen Wiig.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, wow. Let me tell you real quick. This is the difference between his job as a, let's just say, a letter writer.
Okay.
Okay? Because that's kind of what he was. Like, somebody would, basically, this is how it works. Someone would call in or say, this is what I want to say to my loved one, and he basically just makes it better.
Right. He punches up.
Punches it up. So it's a quote-unquote handwritten letter that they will receive in their mail or mailbox or whatever. However, I thought that was a good take as far as how, like you were saying, how bleak the future is going to be and how sad that is. on the flip side,
communicate with each other.
Yeah,
anymore.
and it was smart the way they did it, because yes, he's a boring person at a boring job doing mundane tasks. Whereas, let's say that really the movie 500 Days of Summer, where Joseph Gordon-Levitt's character literally works in a card company.
I hate that movie.
I know, that's why I'm saying, because how mundane can you make and sad can you make this character who works in a, you know, company that writes greeting cards or sad cards, you know, like
which I feel would be a baller job.
Well, yeah, it would be. But what I'm for the purpose of the film, you know, is that
yeah.
They did that on such a ridiculous purpose that, oh, he's a sad boy, you know?
Yeah.
But with her, it was more just showing how ridiculously sad in a realistic way the world right. will be. Not so, just some character who's a poor sap
right.
who can't hold down a girlfriend, you know?
Right.
Which is why I thought the psychology or the personalities of it worked really well, because
yeah.
they understand, like, yeah, he went through a lot of hard times, but he lives in a hard world that's just dumb, you know, dumbed right. down so much.
Yeah.
That he is so vulnerable to fall in love with a voice, you know?
And we find out a lot of other people are too. They fall in love with an idea and not necessarily another person. He can't necessarily handle being around another person like that. But the moral of the story is, yes, you can. Spoiler alert, you know, I guess I'm not really going to be spoiling anything. I kind of tapped out. There's an awesome video game he plays.
Yeah, that was a good part.
There's a little character in there that comes out, really foul-mouthed and hilarious, that just verbally beats him down, which he finally starts, like, showing some liveliness. And that was voiced by Spike Jonze.
Yeah.
Jones. I don't know why I say Jonze.
Well, just as a, not to critique it, but to recommend it, I would recommend seeing it.
I say go see it, because it's a cool futuristic movie. Yeah.
Especially if you like
it's
Spike Jonze.
It's beautiful. The
movies.
Cinematography is wonderful. The directing is wonderful. There's a hilarious phone sex scene that I thought was great, but bleak at the same time. And Olivia Wilde's in it. How can you go wrong? She's in it for just enough. Enough Olivia Wilde, and then you peace out. Yeah, so, her 2013, actually 2014, made in 2013. Hey, should you go see it? That's up to you.
You flip your coin.
Flip it, man. Do you feel like you should see it in the theater, or do you feel you should wait for Redbox, or even later this year for Netflix? You know, are you going to buy it on DVD? Is it going to be a buy or die? Did we talk too harshly about it? Maybe not. We saw it. I enjoyed what I saw. I would not watch it again.
Yeah. I would maybe watch it in the future.
It has
later
some
on.
Wonderful talking points about are machines more alive than we are? Is that how it's going to be? Are we giving too much of ourselves over to just being constantly entertained? Or is being with people, have we lost touch with being with people? Many, 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 many more ways you can take it. Many more ways you can diagnose it, you can dissect it. It has a whole lot of talking points that are actually, you could really, really break it down. Or is it going to be one of those movies that you just look at and go, meh, I don't see what the big deal is?
It was that.
For me, that was just me trying a stupid voice that is in my subconscious. That's probably a take on a voice of somebody else doing a voice. But anyway, what are you looking up right now?
Just for the next segment. But real quick, I just want to, for my...
What are you watching? What are you looking at?
I'm looking at, again, I want to say Inside Llewyn Davis, the Coen Brothers film.
Llewellyn?
Llewyn.
Llewyn.
L-L-E.
Uh-huh.
Y.
Y.
N.
Yeah. Okay, Llewyn.
Or W-Y-N.
W-Y-N. Llewyn. Okay. What happened to your mind? Something weird happened.
Yeah. It fell.
Okay.
Yeah,
I call a foul on your mic.
I thought it was a great... Great. I mean, it's the Coen brothers, man.
Already biased.
Yeah, but
you were about to say they don't make bad movies.
They make great films. Like, I was going to say, if you like Coen brothers films, you will like this movie. That's what I was going to say.
I just want to play their video games. Just kidding. Huh? They don't have any.
But that's my...
don't take that so serious.
That's my... What am I watching? I wanted to...
Are you going to break it down, or...
Yeah, I wanted to see what's new in the theaters.
Lulan? You're not going to talk anymore about that movie?
No. I'll save it.
Just save it. Sure, but that is what you were watching.
Yeah, I watched it last night, and I really enjoyed it. Really enjoyed it. Great film. Probably one of the better films from this year, because...
Well, it is 2014 in January.
Yeah. It came out in December, but...
Okay.
Yeah, it was...
Yeah. Okay, yeah.
I've got a lot to talk about Wolf of Wall Street, so...
Okay.
I'll save that one for another time.
Okay, now then, are we about to go to another segment?
Yes. I would like to do What's New in Theaters.
What's New in Theaters?
That one's going to change.
okay. Yeah, talk.
What's January? You know, there's nothing
good.
It's
the end of January.
But you know January. Like, that's when they put the movies out that... It's not going to make money.
They don't mind or forgotten at the end of the year.
Oh, yeah.
Like January through March and April. Yeah, I'd say all the way maybe to May.
Yeah.
They're like, nobody's going to remember these because they're not summer blockbusters.
Well, the crazy thing is, like, it's amazing that so many blockbusters aren't recognized by the Academy or whoever wants to judge good film. You know what I'm saying? Because there's a lot of really intense good films that come out in the summer, and I think I heard this on Adam Carolla's podcast. They were talking about films, but there really should be a blockbuster category. Like, what was the best blockbuster film? You know, like, I think it's legitimate.
Well, yeah, I mean, you're gonna have to judge it a way different way than you normally would, but basically I think you would have to mash a lot of categories together to make that. You know, it would be a conglomeration of all those, of not all categories to win Best Picture, but like a quarter of those categories for Best Picture gets blockbuster.
Well, here's what's new in theaters. I haven't seen them, wouldn't recommend them off my head.
But you haven't seen them, so haven't how seen could them. You recommend
well,
them?
I mean, just based on make the trailer. Based sense. Off the trailers. Based off what I know.
I have a huge problem with
I, Frankenstein.
I have a huge problem with you saying that, though.
I'm not recommending that you don't go see it. I'm just saying for myself, I will not go see this.
You will not go see this.
I would not go see this.
Okay, what will based you not on, go see based on the trailer?
I, Frankenstein.
Anything else?
I'm not saying I will never see these movies. I would not pay the ticket price to
I do not want to see I, Frankenstein, because whenever I saw the preview for it, I said, okay, there's a lot going on. I don't care so much about the story. It's kind of interesting what they're telling me so far that this story is. I would have to research it a little bit more, but that looks like a crap comic book story. A comic book I do not want to read because
it's based off a graphic
novel.
I
like the original Frankenstein story just fine. And if you manipulate that, I don't have a problem. Mm-hmm. But to make it so bizarre, I'm just kind of bored with it. That Frankenstein's monster, like,
yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know. There's, I don't know.
Have you heard of Frankenstein's Army?
I have.
Okay, I think we will be watching that on in a couple weeks, hopefully.
Okay.
Looks awesome. Watch the trailer tonight.
I don't know.
It looks awesome.
I'll watch the trailer. I'll let you know.
No, it looks awesome in that. Like, yeah, I'll watch it.
Like, this has some crazy crap in it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Really, I, Frankenstein is the only thing that's come out recently. I want to go ahead and move forward to what's coming up soon, hopefully, that we can talk about and jive with. I didn't know they were making, or had already made, a Muppets movie. Another Muppet movie. Muppets Most Wanted.
Yeah.
Don't really know what that means, but I will watch it.
I think Tina Fey's in it.
Yeah, she is. Ricky Gervais.
Yep.
The Monuments Men comes out February 7th, which is George Clooney's new movie. And I don't know much about it.
I know Bill Murray's in it. And John Goodman.
Really?
As two of the Monuments Men, as well as George Clooney.
So I have a problem with you already basing the movie off of just the actors.
No, I'm saying I want to see that movie. I'm not telling other people to go see it or not. That's where I was having a problem.
There you go. That's where we'll... Okay, from now on...
Because we already said...
I will not recommend... I will say,
yeah,
this is what I think. There you
go. Exactly, because we do not make movies And there is no reason for us to tell other people what they should or should not watch.
Very true.
We're only refereeing.
Right. So The Monuments Men, February 7th, you know, looks interesting, especially now that I know that some of the actors, and George Clooney, he's made great films. Yeah. I mean, he really has. He's put out a lot of good films in the past several years.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are familiar with George Clooney's work, especially in the sequel to Attack of the Killer Tomatoes in the 80s. Mm. Fantastic work there, mullet.
The Lego Movie comes out February 7th as well, which I kind of want to see.
Trailer makes it look funny,
yeah.
In my opinion.
Fortunately, the school I'm going to in March is their, like, surprise day, so I think I might be going to see that with a bunch of kids, which could be kind of fun.
Oh, that'd be cool.
And then, of course, what we were talking about earlier, February 12th, RoboCop. The reimagining.
The reimagining. We do not call this one a remake. We call this one a reimagining because remake, in our opinion, is a shot-for-shot movie with the same script, just different people and different effects, with a little bit twisted here and there. This is a complete reimagining of the movie. It is written differently. The overall feel is different. It just has the same name. But it is reimagining of the story of a police officer who is hurt. And part of him placed and replaced within robotic android-like technology. I could go on and on forever, but we're not doing a RoboCop episode. Yeah. That is for sci-fighters. Yeah. It is not the same movie. It is not a remake of RoboCop. It is a reimagining. It is not the same movie. If you are bummed out that it is not RoboCop, I suggest you pick up your copy of RoboCop Unrated Director's Cut from the 80s and watch that one. And don't go see this other movie. This is a recommendation I am going to make because I'm not telling you if something is good or bad. I'm telling you what is or is not and what I believe to be the mindset to go into a movie like this is. I do not feel that a reimagining is bad. I'm just going to tell you this. You didn't ask, but I'm going to tell you. Because if by any chance they reimagine a movie you absolutely love, and someone who has not seen it, that is younger, goes and sees it, it may make them curious to see the original.
Yeah, that's true.
And what if they go and they see the original and they love that more and they get it? Well, then that's a big win. So you can't, I don't think dumping on a reimagining or even a remake is, it's not detrimental. The movie business is a business. Business people don't give a flip about your feelings or your family values or what you deem worthy or possible or right or wrong. They're there to make the almighty dollar. Now then, you give them the almighty dollar, and they give you more movies. You stop giving them the almighty dollar, you better start making your own movies, because that's all that is going to be able to be made. So yeah, you may not like what they're doing, it's still going to happen, there is nothing you can do to stop it, so don't waste your breath complaining, because all your complaining does is nothing. But if that reimagining or that remake makes someone else go visit the original RoboCop, yippee-yay-yay.
Yeah, I agree. That is true. Because
eat
like,
it. Love it. Yeah, excited.
Well, they are part... I mean, like, a lot of the remakes, reimaginings, whatever, are from movies that are older than a lot of the people that are going to see them in theaters. Like
yeah, or books.
Kids. So it is kind of important that they see the new look at it. But it'll get them interested in the originals, which is even better.
And let's take the
Wizard. That's not a bad thing.
Yeah, in the Wizard of Oz. Let's take the Wizard of Oz. That movie was made once or twice in silence before the one that we know and love was made in the 40s. That
30s, late 30s.
Late 30s. Got me. That's a big deal. You can't say that Wizard of Oz is the original. No, it's not. That was a remake. You love a remake. You love a reimagining of. So don't say that you don't like them. You remember John Carpenter's The Thing? Amazing movie. It's a remake of a movie from the 40s or 50s called The Thing. Which is a decent movie and a fun movie, but not the same thing. reimagining, I feel it's way better and wonderful and fun.
Mm-hmm.
And Kurt Russell, we love him here. Don't poo-poo it because it's not what you want it to be, because it can't. And one of the reasons I love the things that I love is because I saw them when I was younger, and I saw them whenever everything was new to me. Things aren't new anymore. I realize everything is recycled now. I don't get as excited on concepts that I used to because they're not fresh and new anymore like they were when I was 10, 9, 10, right. 12 years old. Indiana Jones, in my opinion, is a stupid, stupid, stupidly written franchise. But my adult mind knows it's written like a serial. And Spielberg cut and edit and all that, this movie, to be watched like a listened to serial from the 40s.
Mm.
And that's what it is. It's cheese.
Mm-hmm.
It is not to be taken seriously. When I was younger, oh, I took it seriously. It was action. It was adventure. It was a real man doing real man things. No. 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 It's dumb. It's so dumb. And the editing is choppy. And, hey, we're walking. Oh, now we're here. And with nothing in between. Oh, this is happening. And now this is happening.
What, you don't think the maps detail everything?
Whenever I was younger, it was awesome. Whenever I watch it now, it's still awesome, but I don't watch it as an adult. I watch it like I did when I was 12. A lot of these movies people critique, they watch them with adult eyes. You can't do that. You can't watch Horton Hears a Who with a 32-year-old eye.
Right.
And expect to feel like it was written for you. It wasn't. It was written for 8-year-olds. It was written for babies, for children. You have no business critiquing a movie like that at all. You cannot say you should or shouldn't see this movie. This movie wasn't good on this, that, and the other merit. Fine. The Lorax, I hated. Horton Hears a Hue. Who? A Hue? I loved it. But The Lorax, I absolutely hated. Why? Wasn't too fond of the performances. Absolutely hated the music and the songs. Hated it. And I didn't really like the story that much. Kids love it. Who cares? See it? Don't see it? I don't care. I hope they make a million more of them. Keep the money going. I don't care.
That's right.
Make your own stuff. If that's you don't like it that much, go see your own stuff.
But we're repping it. We're repping it.
That's what Lucas... That's how Lucas feels.
You flip your coin. You pay the coin.
You pay the coin?
You pay with the coin.
You pay with the coin.
To see the movies that you want to see if you want to flip the coin and make it happen. Just do it. Or don't do it.
Yeah, if you feel like you're not going to like a movie, don't go see it. Don't waste your time. If you have that hunch.
Watch it online for
But if you
free.
Want to take a risk, but if you're just going to gripe about movies all the time, which we will, and I will, but it's my personal opinion. And if you're on the internet, you get attacked for that, which is weird.
Right.
But if you attack us, we may or may not fight back. It just depends on how we're feeling, but that's sad. Either way.
Yeah, that's the
it's
difference.
It's sad to attack us. It's sad for us to attack
Well,
back.
That's the difference between, like, a debate that goes with respect any other person's opinion, but also hearing the other person, which debates are really stupid because no one's ever going to change their mind. You know what I mean? Like, if you have a mindset, nothing's really going to change it that much.
If you have your mind made up already, are you really – it's going to take something super powerful for you to change your mind.
Yeah, show me specific parts of a film or something I may have missed to really get it, if that's what you're trying to say.
Right, be logical right. And make sense, please.
But you can't just say, you're stupid because you don't like that movie.
That doesn't, yeah, that's, you know, that's like, not, I'm and not going to listen to it.
Well, and I'm going to, and you'll agree with this on, like, Rotten Tomatoes.
I mean, it's fun we were
very incorporated vocal. And vocal. In,
for a few years.
Yeah, the Rotten Tomatoes forums.
Mm-hmm.
I
wasn't very good at it.
But we would get I would get trashed sometimes, and I know you actually got into it a little bit because someone would just say, you're stupid. You know, it's like a 12-year-old kid probably.
And then
I
would say, why would you say that? This is just my opinion, and I made that clear. Or my opinion. Well, your opinion is stupid.
But why? Like, tell me, like...
And they wouldn't.
Yeah, that's the whole point of it.
Nobody
debate.
Would.
Like, to point out specific points that actually make some sense.
Right.
Rather than just
I was yelling. I know whenever I saw Spike Jonze, why do I keep saying Jonze?
Where the Wild Things Are.
I was disappointed and I was angry, which is dumb. I wouldn't get angry now.
But I still don't like the movie. I don't either. I don't like it as
I still don't like it. I love the visuals. I love the directing. I hate the story. And I dumb the story down as a joke, and I go wah, wah, wah as a joke, because dumbly, I went in with a dumb mindset. I went in with the mindset, oh, this will be like the book? Well, I mean, that's dumb. The book is only so many pages long with so much writing.
Right.
Like, you can finish reading it in 3 minutes. Tops. I mean, like, that's the longest it'll take to read Where the Wild Things Are. If you're reading it slow, I expected I went in with an expectation I shouldn't have had into Where the Wild Things Are. And I came out really pissed off and angry and irritated that the movie wasn't fun and kid jolly. It was a serious, almost adolescent anger, daddy issues movie. And that's not what I wanted, but that's what it was. And it spoke to certain people, and they loved it. And I saw it as drab. I got bored. I said, quit talking. Who cares? Some of it was fun. My kid laughs at all the physical comedy. But there's so much talking. But it's not really a kid's movie. I couldn't pinpoint it. And I also was biased against Dave Eggers. So that didn't help anything, that he helped pin it. I already went in with a bad attitude. So I was on Rotten Tomatoes blasting it. And people blasted me, and I got in a huge fight, and it was stupid. And people said things that were irrational, and I might have said some irrational stuff, but I tried not to. But people called me out on my BS, and I took it hard, which is dumb, because I put myself out there, and I started a fight. I started slinging mud. I've never made a movie. I've never written a movie. Shame on me for even doing it like that. That's stupid. But it was my opinion, and I was so passionate about it. Well, that's silly. It's not real. I should have just had a good time. Where the Wild Things Are, it's an amazingly made movie. It's fantastic for what it is. It's just not for me. Lucas says it's not for him. And a movie that we could fight about all day long, which I'm very unfair to, is Lost in Translation. Me and you, Kevin. Because you like it still, right?
Yeah, I'll watch it.
I hate it.
We'll talk about it.
Lost in Translation, but we'll get into that later. And that's just part of who we are. I got really serious towards the end of this. Hopefully I didn't lose you guys. Hopefully you guys were still on board with this episode of Video Refs. Future episodes, we're planning on doing more of a channeling certain topics. I hope personally that we get around to doing like a Peter Weller episode where we talk about Peter Weller this and Peter Weller that. And we can link you guys to a whole bunch of really cool Peter Weller stuff. He played RoboCop in the original RoboCops, by the way, guys. Other than that, what do you got, Kev? I know I bulldozed.
No, I'm good. I'm good.
I bulldozed the end, man.
I'm ready to go. I'm just happy to get an episode out. We'll definitely be back with more specific episodes.
Yeah.
You know, we might do an episode like this one off where we'll have our categories, but yeah. You're saying I'm going to do specific genres, maybe specific directors or writers or actors, and really touch in on that and focus in on, you know, specific pinpoints.
We thought originally we were going to start off with the Scott brothers, Ridley and Tony Scott, but man, that's a big undertaking.
Yeah, you were going to take Ridley and I was going to take Tony.
Yeah.
And we would talk about...
And that's
about
our personalities, as a matter of fact, which is pretty funny, movie-watching-wise. We both love them, but different degrees. I think I prefer Ridley where you prefer Tony.
I don't know, man. I'm a Ridley fan, but I'll take Tony because I do like more of his films, I think, than you... May, because I like his quick cuts and stuff.
Right.
I can take him. Right. But I really, Scott, definitely the better.
Well,
the
I like brothers. More of a slow burn.
Plus, Tony killed himself, so you gotta...
Well, you know, there's a lot we're gonna get into that as well, which is fun, which will be fun. The more psychology into it. Guys, we are a part of New Monster. I am Lucas.
I'm Kevin.
And this is New Monster Presents Video Refs. If you liked us, all right. If you didn't like us, stick around. Hopefully we'll get better and better and have more and more fun with you guys. If you don't like us at all and you say we aren't for you, that's fine. There's a lot of podcasts out there. I hope you have a great day and have a great time listening to other podcasts. I have tons that I love to listen to as well. Check out our YouTube page, New Monster Project, YouTube/New Monster Project. I recommend our Bognar 80s toy commercial, as well as our Yamacon 2013 and 2012 videos.
Yeah, very good.
So subscribe to New Monster Project on YouTube, as well as visit us online at newmonsterproject.blogspot.com, I think.
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah.
And for us specifically, we are at Video Refs. Hit us back with any movie recommendations. If you got any critiques, like the show, let us know.
Yeah, tell us what we did or did not do right, what you feel could or could not be done. Give us some good critique, not some BS critique, because we won't really
You're pay attention stupid.
To. Yeah, that's fine.
You don't know.
That means delete. That doesn't help. How does that make a better show? It doesn't. Yeah. Other than that, guys, have a great life. We hope to see you next time, or hear from you, at least. I'm Lucas.
I'm Kevin. We'll catch you later.
Bye.